Amen. So the last sermon that I talked about or spoke on, it was called The Lowdown on Loyalty. And we were just discussing the importance of being loyal. And I really took my time and talked through that. And it was personal because I said God had woke me up and put that on my mind. But afterwards, the next week, I kept hearing blessings. So at the end of Lowdown on Loyalty, I had you guys confess at as we were leaving, favor hit my house. And God has just kept dealing with me about that and blessings. And then I quoted this verse in a Facebook post, and then Bishop spoke on it last week. And he didn't know exactly what he was going to speak on, but God gave him this in the moment. So we're going to read Deuteronomy 28 and 2. And it says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So there comes a season and a time in your life where blessings overtake you. We understand obstacles. We understand trouble. We understand struggle and getting through things. But that's not the whole of our Christian existence. It's just struggling, slipping back and fighting and always being attacked by the enemy. That is not what our whole Christian life should be about. There's a season and a time where you go through that. But the Bible talks about blessings coming on you and overtaking you. So if you stay on the path long enough, you eventually will run into blessings, or blessings will run into you. And so I've been asking myself for a while, when are we going to run into that season? When am I going to hit it? I've got trickles here and there, but I'm starting to feel even more that I'm moving toward that, and the church is moving toward that season where blessings on blessings. And also it's a song by Anthony Brown that's been stuck in my head lately, and it keeps saying blessings on blessings on blessings. And so I've been thinking about that, and then Bishop came and talked about it. And so I'm going to start a new series, and the series is going to be called this, Radically Blessed. Radically Blessed. See, my grandfather told me this a long time ago. He had a bishop tell him this. He said, the bishop told him, he said, some people get blessed early, some people get blessed in the middle, and some people get blessed late. He said, so if you haven't seen your blessing, you may not have been an early blessing. And if you haven't seen it, may not be a middle blessing. You might be one of those late blessings. But he let them know that sometimes when it's a late blessing, it's a cumulative blessing. In other words, what you didn't get when you were young, what you didn't get when you were middle aged, it all hits you at one time. And it's time for us to be radically blessed. And when I say radically blessed, I mean ridiculously blessed. I mean when people look at you and wonder, how did that happen? And you have to look and say, nothing but God. I remember several years ago when Michael Jordan was working on his second championship. He was playing the Portland Trail Blazers. And Michael Jordan was a dominant player. He was a dunker. He was one who was close around the basket. But he wasn't known for his three-point shooting. But that particular game, he got hot behind the three-point line, and he just kept hitting them, and kept hitting them, and kept hitting them. And the last one he hit, he turned and did like this, like, I don't even know what's going on. This is outside of me. I'm in a zone. And he talked about it later. He said the basket looked like a big old huge bucket, like whatever I put up, it was going in. I need to run into a season where I'm so blessed, I just got to put up my hands. I don't even understand it myself. I'm in a zone. I'm being ridiculously blessed. God's chasing me down with blessing. I couldn't have done this if I tried, but God's been good to me. And one of the ways that we're going to win the world is not just by our prayer services, not just by us talking in tongues, but when blessing hits, it catches people's attention. So I want to prepare us to be radically blessed. And somebody say, God, bless me radically. Say this, say, God, bless me ridiculously. In other words, put something on me that everybody knows this is the Lord's doing. So let's do what we always do. Let's do a word study. Let's define the word radically. Radically is an adverb, and its meaning is in a complete manner, thoroughly, or in an extreme way. In other words, there's nothing wrong with blessing here and there, but I need some blessings that are so complete and so thorough and so extreme, everybody knows it's the blessing of the Lord. I want to be so blessed that people assume I did something wrong to be blessed. They assume he must be selling dope on the side. I want to be so blessed it confuses people. I don't know if this is God or the devil. I don't know if he hit the lottery, but something's happening in his life. And so let's look at this. Look at Proverbs 10:22. And it says it this way. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So a thorough blessing, an extreme blessing, a radical blessing is not a blessing with sorrow attached to it. And so if you have a blessing that brings you into sorrow, that's not the type of blessing we're talking about. We're talking about a blessing that was shown off the Lord. Now, if I get blessed with a whole bunch of overtime on my job, it doesn't benefit me that much, because based on what I'm trying to do in the community and based on what I'm trying to do as a pastor, I can't work the overtime. So when it's offered to me, that's not a blessing for me. Sometimes I look at it and be like, man, shoot, I could be making double time today, but I got to preach. So that having that offer to me doesn't really benefit me. If you're already married and somebody telling you I used to have a crush on you all my life, that don't benefit me. I'm already married now. I don't want no blessing that's going to cost me sorrow. I want something that's so radical and so ridiculous that when I wake up and find out about it, I can't do nothing but cry. I can't do nothing but just say, thank you, Jesus. Just when you hear one of those blessings, like, something happens and your whole family is in a van and everybody got hurt in an accident, but your whole family somehow made it out. That's one of those blessings where you can't help but say, God, thank you for being good to me. I want to thank you, Lord, blessing. I want to cry in the middle of the night, blessing. I want a hallelujah in the grocery store, blessing. I want a blessing in the shower, blessing, while I'm washing the dishes. Something that lets me know God is on my side. Now, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're not supposed to live a life where everything is seen. But every now and then, I need something to show up that I can put my hands on. I need something tangible and manifest. I need something I can see with my own eyes. I want a blessing like I'm wearing right now. This is, if you remember, this is my $0 suit. This is a suit that I went into the store looking on my birthday, looking for something, and I've seen this suit, and it said $1,200, and I said, that suit's going to stay where it is. I want it, but I don't want it that bad. It ain't worth that to me. But something in my spirit said, ask to try it on. And in my head, I was like, I don't know why I'm trying it on, because I don't want to pay no $1,200 for a suit. And for my birthday, I don't want to buy no $1,200 suit. And I walked out of the store, but I felt something in me say, go back, ask to try it on. So I decided to try it on, and the lady said, this suit, unfortunately, was tailored for somebody else, but they have not picked it up. And so we don't know what to do with it, and you may not be able to fit it, but it looks like it might be your size. I put it on, and it fit me like it was tailored for me. And the lady said, since it was not tailored for you, we can knock it off. I think it was like 40%, which brought it down to $800. Now, from $1,200 to $800, you're getting closer to my price range. But I still didn't want to spend it. But then something in me said, this suit is yours. And so I asked them, I said, since it wasn't made for me, can you knock it down to 50%? And they said, normally we don't do this. And they went and talked to the manager. The manager came out and said, normally we don't do this, but I think we're going to do it today. So it went from $1,200 to $600. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. But I didn't have the $600. So I put it on my credit card. And I don't like putting clothes on credit card, but something in me said that this belongs to you. So I went ahead and put it on my Brooks Brothers credit card. And then the next month, when I got ready to pay the bill, it wasn't on the bill. The next month, it wasn't on the bill. The next month, it wasn't on the bill. The next month, it wasn't on the bill. And it dawned on me, somehow, God not only gave it to you, but he canceled the debt. So from $1,200, I paid $0. And I'm not talking about I did something funny. I was looking for it. I was waiting for the bill to come. Now the card is canceled and cut up. They can't find me if they try to. I'm wearing it because when God gets ready to bless you. But this gave me a taste, but it hasn't happened to me a lot. I want to walk into some blessings where stuff just happened that you cannot explain. Now, I almost was dumb and went into the store and said, you know that y'all didn't charge me. I said, wait a second, don't you be no fool. I'm not going to say nothing. Now, this is going to go out there on the internet, and you can't get it now. Statute of limitation. This belongs to me. But from $1,200 to $0, that's what I'm talking about, blessing like that. Let's look at Proverbs 10:23. It's the companion verse to 22. And understand what we're talking about. We're talking about in godliness. Now, blessing is not just monetary, but I've had a lot of blessings. I've got a great family. My kids are doing great in school. I have a good marriage. I've got, I have a great marriage. We're working on being better. So I've got a lot of blessings. One of the things I haven't had is the finances. So when I'm thinking of radically blessed, I'm thinking financially, but it's not just finances. Blessings cover so many things, and sometimes you don't need finances. You need relationships prepared. So I want you to think of it in terms of several things, but I'm thinking of it in terms of finances as well. So Proverbs 10:23, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because we always understand that when you're thinking of finances particularly, there's a wrong way to go after things. So let's look at what it says. It says, a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. I'm not talking about being gullible for wicked schemes. I'm not talking about get rich schemes. I'm not saying to be foolish and chasing after money. That's never our goal. Our goal is to chase after God and allow God to bless us. Now, something happened recently. Last week, Lady Devin sent me a text message, and it was just a screenshot of a call from Egypt. And she was like, really? Like, these telemarketers then got crazy. They called them all the way from Egypt. And so the other day, her phone was in my car, and her phone rang, and it said Russia. I said, I'm going to pick it up. I just want to see what they're trying to scam now. And so as I answered the phone, and you know, it takes a while for it to connect, they said, you have won $9,000. I'm like, these fools, they'll try anything to scam you out of something. So what I decided to do, I decided to play along with them. I acted like I was so excited. I said, $9,000? What do I need to do? Oh, please tell me. And you know what they did? They hung up on me. I didn't have to hang up on them. They hung up on me because they realized this is somebody I can't fool. So don't be so caught up in going after blessings that the devil can trick you with scams and schemes and you got to give your credit card to get this. Don't be foolish. Well, God said he's going to radically bless me, but don't be a fool chasing after schemes. Let God do it. Let God do it his way. All right. So as I was studying this, you know, I kind of have a premise that I usually turn a corner because as I was looking at this, I seen something else that I thought was vitally important to this series of Radically Blessed. And it's in Psalms 115, 14 through 15. And this is what starts to turn. It says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Lord will increase you more and more. You are blessed of the Lord. So when I thought about the Lord blessing us and knowing that he doesn't have to, because I always say we can thank him for Calvary's cross. He doesn't have to do anything else for us. He's already got purchased our breath with his own breath. We are living on borrowed breath. So he doesn't have to do anything for us. He doesn't have to wake us up. Really, he's done enough, but the reason why he promises he will do more, because God is a generous God. He's a God that is not just concerned about today. He's concerned about increasing you more and more because he's a God that is just generous. And so it brought me to this understanding that it's important when you understand radically blessed, you have to understand the concept of generosity. That generosity and being generous is tied to blessing. That if God is going to be the one blessing us, he's doing it based out of his love and out of his generosity. And so there's no way that you can position yourself to be radically blessed if you don't have a spirit of generosity yourself. So you can't expect to be radically blessed if you have a stingy spirit. If you have a stingy, scheming mindset and you're not generous and you're selfish and you only think about yourself, this series is not for you. Because this series starts with God being generous to us. And if God is being generous to us, we have to learn how to be generous as well. The scripture says it this way, freely receive, freely give. That since God has done for us, then we are in a position to do as well. So let me look at the word generous. Let's do a word study on that. Showing a readiness to give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected. Going above and beyond expectations. Giving larger or more plentiful than is usual or necessary. So God wants to radically bless us. And he wants to be generous to us. He wants to give us more than is necessary. But we have to learn the concept of generosity ourselves. Because God can't pour into full cup. He could pour into full cups, but then everything's going to spill. You have to have an empty cup for him to fill it up. So that means you have to have a mindset of being generous yourself in money, in time, in the way you think. Sometimes when you're driving, you have to stop and let somebody else get in front of you. You just have to have a mindset of generosity if you're ever going to move into being radically blessed. Because once again, stingy people don't need to be blessed. Scheming people don't need to be blessed. But God wants to bless you to be a blessing. He never wants it to stop with you. He wants you to be a distribution center so things can flow through you. So let's go back to the suit. Yes, I have a $0 suit on, but before I got the $0 suit, I've given several suits away and said, hey, I have three suits, you have none. Why should I have three and you have none? Here, you can have one of mine. And what happens is the concept of being generous, it keeps the floodgates open. All right, let's move on. Somebody says, is this going to be a money scripture, a giving scripture? Yes, it is. This going to be a sermon about giving. I thought I was going to get blessed. Yes, it is. But I waited till after the offering, so I'm not trying to get any more from you now. Look at these synonyms for generous. Lavish, plentiful. Large, huge, great, abundant, profuse, rich, overflowing, superabundant, infinite, inexhaustible, opulent, prolific. God wants to bless you lavishly, plentifully, large, huge, great, abundant, profuse, richly, overflowing, superabundant, infinite, inexhaustible, opulent, and prolific. But you have to be willing to be lavish. Plentiful, large, huge, great, abundant, profuse, rich, overflowing, superabundant, infinite, exhaustible, opulent, and prolific yourself. So we can't expect to be radically blessed if we're still tipping God. Just give him a little tip here, tip there. Not just about money, but if you don't pray for months at a time, why do you think that God is going to radically bless you and allow you to pray for other people when you don't even talk to him? You have to bring something to the table yourself. You have to make up in your mind, I want to be radically blessed, but I'm willing to offer generosity myself. All right, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Let's look at radical generosity from several places. Let's first start looking at it from Proverbs. So we're looking at it from two ways. God being radically blessing us because he's radically generous. But what does he say about us being generous? Do we have the spirit of generosity ourselves? In other words, there's some people you know, they will give you the shirt off their back if they could. They may not, but they have a spirit of generosity. There are some people, let me say this also, we cannot be desensitized to what's going on around us. When people are dying and being shot down by guns, we can't just be, oh, well, it happens all the time. There ought to be something in our heart that breaks. We ought to be so generous thinking that if it was me, what would I do for the people of El Paso? And what would I do for the people of Dayton, Ohio? And forget about just Dayton and El Paso. What about the people in Muncie? See, there's a lot of people dying, and I can't go to every funeral, and I haven't been to a lot of funerals, but I've been praying for these people. I've been praying for families that have lost loved ones, and some of them are losing loved one on top of loved one. My generous spirit is not, well, my family's okay. No, I should hurt when somebody else hurts. I should pray. I should cry. I should break when someone else is broken. That's because I should have a generous spirit. Just because things are good for me doesn't mean I can't hurt for somebody else. And that's part of the heart of a pastor, but you got to get that way too. You ought to break when things aren't right. You may not be able to do every time. Every time you pass a homeless person, you may not be able to do, but you can offer a prayer. You may not have money to give, but you can say a prayer when you pass by someone and something doesn't look right and something looks wrong. You can pray. I remember one time I was driving and I had to get somewhere and I seen a man and a woman arguing, and the man was being real forceful. And in my mind, I said, man, I wish I could stop and intervene because I don't know if he's going to hit her or what, but I had to be somewhere, like in emergency. I actually had to be somewhere, and I could not stop. And I felt defeated driving away. And the Holy Spirit said, you can still pray. It dawned on me, I may not be able to get out of my car and figure out what's going on, but my prayer means something. Be generous with your prayer. Stop just praying for you and your family. Pray for everything you can pray for. That's where your first generosity starts, is with your prayer life. So pray. I don't care for him, but I'm still praying for the President of the United States. Because I don't want him to do anything more crazy than what he's already done. I want him out of office, but I'm still going to pray for him while he's there. And God be forbid, if he gets another 4 years, I'm going to have to keep praying for him. So you've got to learn to have a generous spirit even when it hurts. All right, so let's look at it from Proverbs, the wisest book of the Bible from the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus. Proverbs 11:24 says what? It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. So one person does a lot of giving, and they seem to always be on top. Another person does a lot of hoarding, and they always seem to stay where they are. One thing that's interesting about many of the billionaires in today's age, they're what we call philanthropists, which means they love to give to humanity. So Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, the billionaires, they're not just taking all the money. They have foundations that give and that do. And Oprah, who has a lot of money, is a giver because they found out the Bible is true. When you give, it actually brings more to you. And when you hoard, it doesn't do anything for you. So let's look at the next verse we're going to have up there. Verse 25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So it's a principle that it's going to happen. Now, one thing that I've been talking about to our staff is we have a lot of generous people on our staff. And what I'm afraid of is that they'll do all the giving and the other folk won't do anything. So sometimes I'd be like, I tell them to keep their money. Not because I don't want them to be blessed, but I want to get other people to share the load. Because one thing I've learned about people, if somebody is doing it, other folk will let them do it all the time. Y'all just keep doing it. Sister Devin, you gave $1,000, you keep doing it. I'm never going to give $1,000. But that doesn't mean that she has to always do it. Sometimes the person who has a minimum wage job should save up $1,000 just to give, just to see if it works for them, will it work for me too? So we have to learn how to be generous. All right, let's look at the next verse. Verse 26. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Some of the greatest businesses that have ever hit the face of the earth were not just people trying to make money. It was people trying to solve problems. And once they solved the problems, it actually brought the money in. And the Bible says people curse those who hold back, but they bless those who are willing to sell. I'm not saying you have to give everything away for free. Sometimes you're giving, but sometimes it's going to cost you to give. So it's okay to sell, but don't be the highest, most expensive person on the block with the cheapest stuff. If you bought your stuff from China and it costs you $2 a piece, don't sell it for $22 a piece. Be fair. Be willing to give, willing to sell. It's okay to make some money, but stop trying to just hustle folk. And I love our people, but we some of the most hustling people on the face of the earth, always trying to get over on somebody. How about you try being fair? How about you try being generous? How about you try and let God do the blessing? I'm going to, somebody asked, I want you to sew me a 3-button suit. I'm going to sew them 2 buttons and paint the 3rd one on. They'll never know the difference. Why do people even think that way? Why are you always trying to scheme and get over and do something? I'm going to buy this hair from China. It's not extra virgin hair, but I'm going to write extra virgin on the package so I can sell it higher. Stop cheating and robbing people because you're saying that God can't bless me, so I got to hustle to get it done. I got to hustle to get it done. I don't want to stay on this too long, but church folk, some hustling folk too. Let me not say too much because people will think I'm throwing off on them. I'm just saying down through the years, nobody in this church, I'm just saying down through the years. Let me give an example of that. Sometimes you may be doing a project. Let's say we're going to sell fish dinners. And then so somebody says, I'm going to buy 5 fish dinners. I don't want the fish. Just give those 5 plates away to somebody else. I'm on a diet. I can't eat the fish. I'm going to buy 5 fish dinners. And the church keep the money and sell them 5 fish dinners as if the person didn't give. But since they gave, give away 5 fishes for free. Because that's what they said. Stop trying to get over on folk and expecting God to bless. Stop expecting him to radically bless your radical mess. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Proverbs 19:17. Let's read some more. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. No matter how blessed you get, the Bible is specific. You should never forget the poor. You should never forget somebody that doesn't have what you have. Now, in America, we're wealthier than most people. And so you have to almost travel overseas to see real poverty. But even then, there's some poor people right among us. And so always think about other people. Always think, and sometimes you have to remind your kids when they're throwing away whole plates of food. They don't want to hear, but you got to tell them somebody is hungry. Don't you throw away whole plates of food. Eat that food, because you have to teach them about being generous. I remember when my kids were a little younger, when Draylen and Dylan were younger, and they wanted a whole bunch of stuff for Christmas. And I said, what we're going to do, we're going to take some of the stuff you already have, and we're going to give it away. We're going to give it to the Goodwill and the places, and then you'll get new stuff for Christmas. Chunk was like, okay. Draylen had a breakdown. Crying big crocodile tears. I don't want to give this stuff away. I said, but you haven't used it. You haven't played with it. And I've taught him, and now he's a much more generous person now. But you have to instill that in your kids. And if you are always scheming and stingy and robbing, you can't teach folk beyond your own example. All right. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. I know you thought I was just going to talk about blessing hitting your house, but I'm talking about the attitudes you have to position yourself for the blessings of God. Proverbs 28:27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Now this is kind of tricky, because you can see people who don't give to the poor and it seems like they're doing really good. But what God is saying is they have a whole lot of lack. That's why a lot of them are committing suicide with millions of dollars in their bank, because they don't know how to be generous. And they're so concerned and they have so much anxiety because they're concerned about getting more and what the stock market is doing. And God is saying, I'll take a little person that knows how to help the poor, and I'll bless them and increase them more and more. And we've been a church that have always done that. We've always blessed. But here's the thing. We've always blessed the poor. So it's time for us to receive something too. So we should expect it, but don't expect it and stop what we've been doing. We stop what we've been doing when we can't do. When it's not financial smart for us to give to the poor, we don't, but we can still pray. We can still band together with other churches and give out food. We can do something to help our community and let people know the church loves you. You're not just, we don't just don't want your butt in a seat. We don't just want your dollars out of your pocket. We love you for who you are. And if you're poor and you don't have anything to give, you are okay to come to our church, receive and be blessed. You don't have to give an offering. We're still going to hug you and love you, but we're expecting that God to radically bless you. And once he blesses you, don't forget the church that was there for you. That's what happened to a lot of times for us. We bless a bunch of people, and then when they get blessed, they go somewhere else. They go to a bigger church. But I'm like, but what about the ones who was there for you, helping you and taking you out to eat? They forget about us. But here's the thing. God hasn't forgot about us. And you've gone through the same thing. You got family members that you done bailed out and helped, and then they forget about you. And God forbid if you need something. And you go back to them, well, I can't do it. But let you say it, you can't do it. They'll dog you out and talk about you, but don't worry about it. You keep being generous because God sees and God will reward. Amen. Let's look at radical generosity from 2 Corinthians. So we covered it from Proverbs. Let's look at it from 2 Corinthians. And this is sticking actually with the theme of the poor. Let me take a quick little rabbit trail. One thing that bothers me about I would say evangelicals is they major on things that the Bible didn't really major on. You won't be able to open up the Bible and find the word abortion in the Bible. You will find them talking about not sacrificing your kids because they used to take their kids after they were born and sacrifice them to idol. And God said that's detestable. And I understand what they're saying. I believe that a child is born at conception. I believe that is a life. And I believe that a baby being aborted is not good. I don't think that's great. But they use that as like the act like that's the only thing in the Bible. And then there's other preachers that act like homosexuality is the only thing in the Bible. You can look throughout the Bible and you may find 5 instances where it talks about homosexuality, maybe 10 at the most, but churches will preach on that. Even when it talks about fornication and adultery, it talks about adultery quite a bit, talking about being unfaithful to God, but even sex outside of marriage, it doesn't talk about it the way the church talks about it. But what it does talk about all the time, it talks about justice. It talks about being good to the poor. So why are we preaching those kind of messages? Why are, when we're talking about who we should vote for, we got to vote for Trump because Trump is against abortion. But what was, since he was a millionaire, what did he do with his millions to help poor people? Oh, we don't have to worry about that. No, that the Bible talks about that too. So you have to be fair. And a lot of Christians, they forget these other parts of the scripture that talks about what we should do for the poor. And I don't care how blessed we get. I don't care what I drive. We will never forget the poor in this church because that is what God talks about. It is our job to always think about those who are less fortunate. And one of the reasons why I want more blessings so I can do more. Until then, I'm going to pray for people. And when I don't give them money, I still pray for them. Not too long ago, we had a couple come here, and they said they were from South Bend, and they were giving me a long, drawn-out story that I didn't believe, and they were asking for money, and I wasn't planning on giving them any money. I said, we don't do that here. If you have a bill, you can bring your bill. But inside, I felt something inside said, change your rule today. Now, I happened to have, I had done a wedding the day before for a friend of mine, and I wasn't going to charge him, but he gave me $100 anyhow, and I had a $100 bill in my pocket. And I wasn't wanting to give. I would rather put that in the church than to give to somebody I don't know, giving me this long, drawn-out story. But something in my heart had compassion for the individual. And so I said, stay here until church is over and come back and see me. Because a lot of times what they won't do, they won't stay through church. Because they're going to go try the next church and try to scam the next person. But they stayed through church. And then I said, I took them in my office. And then in my office, as I talked to the person, I still didn't believe their story, but my heart broke for them. And I thought about, what if it was me? What if I was in a new city and I didn't have any money? And I came to a preacher that is dressed up and looking nice and got a Cadillac and I couldn't get a few dollars for him. I wondered how that would crush my spirit. So I prayed about it, and in it I said, you know what? I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I said, I got $100 in my pocket and I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to bless you with it. But I told them this. I said, they said they needed to get back to South Bend. I said, if I see you next week in Muncie, I'm not going to be mean to you, but you're not going to get another dime from me because you're telling me you need this to get back to where you're going. And they said, I appreciate that. But it was something about, even though I didn't believe their story, it was something about me saying, the $100 in my pocket is not more important than a human soul in front of me. And so even if they do what's wrong with it, it was him and another person, I want them to be able to say, I went to a church in Muncie and there was a preacher that showed me love and kindness. I can't do that all the time, but when God puts it on my heart, when I have it, I don't care if I need it for something else, I'm willing to give it because there's a spirit of generosity that says, God will bless me for whatever I give out. And I want us to remember, we are a church that does that, so blessings gonna hit us, but keep that generous mindset. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:5. Before I say that, I will say we just about every funeral we've done, I keep trying to change it, but then my heart's too big. Every funeral we've done, we don't charge the people for funeral. We let them come in and we do the funeral for them and don't ask them for anything. And I each time I'm thinking, I know other churches charge and we probably should charge, but some of them I know they don't have that much money. They already got a GoFundMe on Facebook to bury the person. And so I don't want to ask extra. So I try to offer our services for free. I try to do things for people. And I'm expecting God to bless us back for it. Because at the end of the day, I want to be one of those churches that don't just talk about love. We have love in action. So when you get to 2 Corinthians, this is Paul talking about another church. And this other church is doing good. Corinthians was a city kind of like Las Vegas. It was a hot city and a lot was going on. So the church in Corinth were people that had some means. And then there was another church that was broke. And Paul was saying, let's raise some money for this other church. So let's look what happens in 2 Corinthians 9:5. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised, then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. What that word again, generous, generous, generous. And then verse 6 says this, generosity and courage. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. At the end of the day, you have to understand that at the end of the day, God will bless you. And so if you do it half-heartedly, God is allowed to do it half-heartedly to you. But if you do the best you can and you give the best you can, not just with your money, your time, sometimes you're tired and you're worn out and people call for your help and you don't feel like it, but you get up and you do it and you give the shirt off your back. God says, if you're that type of person, you cannot leave this earth without me blessing you. It may not come early. It may not come in the middle. It may come late. But if you have that generous mindset, you will be radically blessed. All right, let's go to verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, it doesn't say God hates a mad giver. Because sometimes God has asked me to give stuff and I wasn't too happy about it. I gave it. But he loves a cheerful giver. And it says each of you should decide, the King James says, purpose in your heart. In other words, you should already be planning on what you would give if something happened to you. Sister Teresa was talking to me the other day and she asked me, she said, do you have any questions for me? And I said, let me think of a question for her. She wants to train herself to be able to answer things on the fly. So she uses me as a sounding board. And so I said, what would you do if you had $50,000 tomorrow? So she told me what she would do. And I said, the reason why I asked you that, because I want you to train your thinking about God blessing you radically. And already, what are you going to do with it? And the first thing she talked about is who she would give to. I'd give to the church first, and I give to these people first. I won't say who she said. And then she talked about what she would do for herself. You have to already think of how you're going to bless somebody if God blesses you. In other words, God, if you give me something, the first thought is what I'm going to give back. If you bless me with a new house, the first thought is who I can let stay if they don't have a place to stay. If you bless me with an extra house, the first thought is how I can fix it up for some homeless person. I'm always thinking, God may not ask you to do it, but you should always purpose in your heart, I'm going to be generous. God, if you ever bless me big, I promise you I'm going to be generous. Now, here's the thing. You can't promise God away from your actions today. Because your actions today will show what you will do tomorrow. So God knows. So just get in your heart and get ready to be generous. And so what you got to do, you got to start where you are. I only have $2, but maybe I'll give 50 cents of that away. I only have this, but maybe I can do that with it. You start where you are, be generous where you are. And when God radically blesses you, you won't have a problem with being generous. And it says, not under compulsion. So that's why we don't do that. Well, we need 50 more dollars. We're not going to leave the service until we get 50 more dollars. Do we sometimes need 50 more dollars? Yes, we do. But I don't want to beat you up over the head and have, like, if $500 line. Every now and then, God will anoint to do that. But every service, you have a $500 line. And every service, you can't close the offering until 12 people give $50. I don't want to do that to people. I want people to already purpose in their heart, I'm going to be generous. We raise the offering. We move on to something else. And that's why a lot of folk in the world don't want to come to church, because they think the church is only about money because of the way we act in the church. I will never be one of those pastors that's going to beg. If you don't want to do, I don't have time to waste time with it. I'm moving on. I want to work with the ones who will do. And when you come and you put your behind in the seat, you're already giving your time. And I appreciate that. And we want to respect your time. So let's look more. Let's see what happens in verse 8. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound to every good work. God wants to put you in a position that anytime is a good, positive work, you always have something to give. Now, the people in the church that seem to be giving the most, they put themselves in a generous flow, and they're always going to be blessed. Some way, somehow, they're going to keep being blessed. And what you guys are doing is got to look at them and say, what are y'all doing so I can do it too? I may not be able to do it at the level. Let me use Sister Ruth, for example. She's got a business. I may not be able to do it at the level that she's doing. She said that she's going to give $1,000. I can't do that, but maybe I can give $100. Maybe I can start somewhere. I'm going to try. In other words, I'm going to be on my level, but I'm not going to let anybody beat me giving. I may not be able to match your number, but you're not going to match my generosity. You're not going to outmatch my generosity. I'm going to do something. Well, I can't do anything. I'm just broke. Well, I'm going to take some of my food stamps, and I'm going to take some of that food, and I'm going to make somebody a meal. I'm going to find a way to give. You're not going to stop me from giving. I'm going to volunteer somewhere. I'm going to go down to the schools, and when people get off the bus, I'm going to ask, can I shake hands and smile at kids? You're not going to beat me giving, because even though I don't have money right now, I'm a generous person, and I'm going to give, and God will repay. And when you have that mindset, God begins to bless. Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now it says, now God, the God who gives you seed to sow, he also multiplies what you've sown. In other words, so Sister Ruth gave $1,000. You only gave 100, but God multiplies your 100 because he understands your 100 was like her 1,000. So when he blesses her, he blesses you. He doesn't treat you any different because he knows you did the best you can. God is in the blessing business, but he just doesn't want to bless people who are stingy. That's all he just don't want to do. He don't want to bless people who will hoard. And here's the problem is Satan is in the blessing business too. But he blesses people as long as they stay on the path that he wants them on. So he'll keep making sure money comes to him. There's a man named Jeffrey Epstein who just committed suicide in a weird kind of way. But they find out he's a millionaire who had all kinds of crazy sex things going on and child molestation kind of stuff going on. How does a man like that have money? The devil keeps a man like that with money. And God says, I don't want the devil to outdo me, but I can't get the church to get on board. I can't get my people to do right. I can't get them to focus. So when somebody does do something, I increase them more and more. God will make your little righteousness go further than some demonic person's evil. God will let you outpace and outdo. God will bless you to do. There was a young man, a young African-American man who was from the military, who was in El Paso, Texas. And people were being shot, and he was taking and rescuing people and grabbing them and bringing them safely. He was getting kids and keeping them. He was putting himself in harm's way. No, he didn't give $1 million, but you know how many lives he saved. And when they interviewed him, he broke down in tears and said, I wish I could get more. I wish I could have saved more. He said he was hurt over the people's faces. You see, and this is what he said. He said, even though I've been in the military and I've been in Iraq and these other places, I've never been in a worse situation than I was in the mall in El Paso, Texas. But because he was a generous person, he forgot about himself and he saved lives. And he's a hero. And in today's world, they'll celebrate LeBron and Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant. And I don't have no problem with that. But a person like that will be forgotten because that's how the devil operates. But God won't forget that person. And you may feel forgotten, but if you have a generous spirit, a generous heart, a giving mindset, and you will go out of your way to help somebody, it may hurt, it may be stressful, you may feel like giving up, but I'm here to let you know God will repay. Because he promises he will. Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What if you can be generous in such a way that it just makes somebody say, thank God. Remember when I talk about having a blessing that just makes you cry and say, thank God. What if you could be one of those blessing people? I've heard of churches that they've been doing things like raising money and buying a car as a church. And then waiting to a strategic time and blessing a single mother with a car. And looking at the look on the person's face when they came to church to hear a word and left with a brand new car. A new car to them. That's the kind of blessing, that a blessing that'll make somebody thank God. If we can be that to the community, I would love. But we got to start working toward that. We got to start getting toward that. What if we can go in and say, this person says, I want to go to college, but I can't because of the scholarships. I'm going to have to drop out for the semester. And we step in as a church and say, don't worry about dropping out. We got you covered for the rest of the year. We're not there yet, but if we get generous and we get focused and we up, God will bless us and we can be a blessing to people. But if we just want it so we can go on vacations, get better cars, buy better wigs and better weave and get some black stuff put on your gray beard, if that's all we want the money for, God will skip right over us. It's not nothing wrong with having those things, but those should never be your primary focus about being blessed. The major reason why I want to be blessed and come off the job is so I can preach more. It's not so I can buy a better car. You can only drive one car at a time. Unless you're a fool, you should only be wearing one watch at a time. I can only wear so many Jordans at a time. I don't just want the stuff to have stuff's sake. I want to be a blessing. God didn't raise me up and deliver me for me to die the same way I came. I want to preach around the world. I want to give as much as I can give. But it starts somewhere. And if you get a generous heart down, down, down in your spirit, God says, I'm going to radically bless you because I can trust that you will be a blessing to somebody else. All right, radical generosity. 1 Timothy, First Timothy 6 and 10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many good. It didn't say money is the root of all evil. People say money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. It says the love of money. And it says this is that people wandered from the faith. So if you come into church every Sunday and you're trying to hear the word, you haven't wandered from the faith. There's nothing wrong with you having money. There's nothing wrong with you being blessed because God can trust you. Verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth. Y'all, some of y'all gonna get radically blessed. But here's the warning that God says when God begins to turn your misfortunes into blessing. This is what I want you to do. Do not be arrogant. No, don't call me Dre anymore. Call me James. Because now I have a Rolls Royce and I don't want to be called Andre. Call me James. Call me Master James. No, don't change. Don't be arrogant. Be the same person. Some of y'all get arrogant just because you ate a steak. So God said, I can't bless you. No. Be the same person you are. Money will change you to some extent. But some of y'all just get crazy with it. I'm Sasha Fierce. No, you not. Sit down. Just be regular. It's okay. And well, I'm not going to drive my new car to church because people are going to be touching it and all that. Well, you don't need a car then. God says, don't be arrogant and don't put your hope in it. And then it says this, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Things are to be enjoyed, not to be coveted over, not to make you feel like you're better than somebody else. That's not what it's for. It's just for you to enjoy. I had to ask myself the question when we went on vacation, we went on sabbatical, and I knew we were going on the Disney cruise and going to the Bahamas, and I wanted to post pictures, but I had to ask myself, am I posting pictures to make other people jealous, or am I just sharing? And I always thought, well, I'm just sharing, but I had to stop and think, because something about this social media age is almost like we're doing stuff just to be seen. And we're doing stuff just to let somebody know I'm better than you. And if you went on vacation, I can go on vacation. So before I posted picture, I had to pray and ask myself, what is my motive for posting? When I post my suit selfie, my Sunday suit, am I posting it to make other people feel bad or is there a reason? And as I evaluated myself, I realized there is a reason and I'm still going to do it because I'm doing it from the right motives. But sometimes you have to examine yourself because the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. And sometimes you think you're doing one thing, but the heart is doing something else. I can't wait to stunt on my haters. God is not concerned about you stunting on your haters. God says he will bless you in the presence of your enemies. He will put a table in the presence of your enemy. So you let God stunt on your haters. Don't you do it so that you can tell somebody, look at this and look at that. And one thing I can't stand, I got to get off. I can't stand when a woman gets a new man and all she wants to do is talk about the old man's ex. His ex couldn't do what I'm doing. His ex can. Why are you worried about his ex? Are you so insecure that you got to use your Facebook time to talk about somebody else? How about you learn how to just be you and do what God has for you? And if God blesses you with it, before you tell, examine your motives. Am I telling so somebody else can get it? Or am I telling to put the spotlight on me? And we always got to check with that. All right, let me add this as we come to a close. Simply put, there is no pathway to blessing that doesn't pass through the road of generosity. It's against God's character to reward those who aren't generous. He may want to reward you, but it's against his character to reward somebody who's not generous. And so let's close this way. Radical generosity from St. John. And so I'll only have two scriptures, and then we're going to move into our communion. So radical generosity from St. John. Let's look at this. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. Most Christians should know it. Pull it up, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he, I'm going to add words that aren't there. I'm going to add it just to make the emphasis, that he generously gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God had a son, but he wanted a family. His original plan, Adam and Eve, had already messed up. That was enough for God to walk away. God could have walked away, but he so generously loved that he said, I'm going to give my own son. And the son so generously loved that the son said, I'll go and I'll die. I'll fix the whole thing so you can have a family. There's no reason why God should have contact with me, but because of his son, he can have contact with me. I'm too sinful. I'm too dirty. I'm too messed up for a holy God to have contact with me. But he loved me so much, he said, I'm willing to sacrifice my son so I can have contact with dirty man. Man was made out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says our sin stinks in his nostrils, but he loves us so much. When I was a father, changing my son's diaper, sometimes I had to hold my face. Like, God, how can a little kid do all this? But I never stopped loving them, even though I was dealing with their mess. I changed it, and sometimes I got mess on my finger. I'm like, oh, God, I got to wipe it off. I didn't like it, but I loved the person I was having contact with. And you are so dirty and so messed up and so foul, but God is so generous, he just comes and loves and washes and cleans and said, I'm going to send my son to die for him so I can have contact with him. I want to show up in the, when they wake up in the morning, I want to be the first person in their room. And they probably won't talk to me. They'll probably grab their phone and walk out of the room without ever saying anything to me. But I still want to be there because I love my people. And they said, whoever believes will receive everlasting eternal life. And then the next verse, since these were in the red letters, so Jesus was saying it. It says, for God sent not his own son in the world to condemn the world. He could have sent his son to kill everybody and start over. But he said he didn't send him to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the word saved means rescued. So yes, God is planning to radically bless us. But let's take a page from his book. Let's be radically generous and let's give and give and give and give till it hurts, because God has given and given and given to us till it hurts. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you.